This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Coming up on today's show, a business launched on the simple idea of buy a pair of shoes, give a pair of shoes. First up, a social enterprise is a business created to further a social purpose in a financially sustainable way. Greater Cincinnati is home to several such organizations, operating successful businesses while giving back to the local community. Social Enterprise Week in Cincinnati begins August 31st and will include events and activities to engage people and drive home the message, business is a vehicle for improving the common good. And joining us to talk about the importance of social enterprises and give us a preview of Social Enterprise Cincy Week are David Dreith, Executive Vice President of Enterprise Easter Seals Tri-State, Dan Meyer, CEO of Nehemiah Manufacturing and founder of Beacon of Hope Alliance, and Bill Tucker, Executive Director of Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bill, David, and Dan, thanks so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill, I've been hearing the term social enterprise. It seems like more and more and more lately. And how long have these been around, and how did they originate?
My gosh, social enterprise is not a new concept. This is something that's been around for a long, long time. In the United States, YMCA had social enterprises going back into the 1880s. Other organizations like Salvation Army had social enterprises going back into 1860, I think. They actually had match factories. So the idea that a business that was serving the common good could use earned revenue from some type of a business venture is not something that's new. It has been something, though, that has taken on a lot of steam, particularly in the 1960s. We started seeing a lot of social enterprises crop up around the country, and particularly within the last decade, as organizations that serve the common good, largely nonprofits, but not exclusively nonprofits, have struggled to find ways for financial sustainability, looking for different sources of funding, and particularly with funding sources such as government grants and philanthropy declining in many sectors, social enterprise has really been something that they've looked to try to help deliver on their missions at the same time provide sustainability.
So what's the difference between a social enterprise and just a nonprofit charity organization?
They can be one and the same. Social enterprise can be organized as a nonprofit. It can also be organized as a for-profit. We have social enterprises that are very much faith-based as well in this community. So it can be those organizational things really don't matter so much. What really matters is that the primary purpose of that organization is to serve the common good. And they can make profit while doing that because that profit gets reinvested in the business and that business helps serve the common good even more.
Now, where do social entrepreneurs fit into this? Are they the same thing or is that something different?
I guess definitionally you could say that the social entrepreneur is the person that helps drive the enterprise. Social entrepreneurs take on many different characteristics. In today's world, there are a lot of young people that are getting in the world of social entrepreneurship. Miami University, for example, which happens to be one of our founding partners, has a Center for Social Entrepreneurship. And their young people are being taught how to use social entrepreneurship and create social enterprises to help further the common good.
David, why do people start social enterprises? I mean, it sounds like it's a tough way to go.
It is. It's a difficult thing. Our organization at Easter Seals Tri-State, we started a social enterprise originally because our board back in the early 2000s was concerned about how dependent we were on government funding for our sustainability and wanted to diversify the funding we were. Because much of what we do at Easter Seals Tri-State is around workforce development for people with disabilities and disadvantages, it made sense for us to enter into the social enterprise world. If we're trying to prepare people for work, it makes sense that we then have work programs and work sites that people can train on real skills to enter industries. And so that's why we entered.
And Dan, in your case, why did you start a social enterprise? What drove you to do this?
Well, my history, I spent 15 years in corporate America and learned how to build businesses. The previous business I had before Nehemiah, we were blessed to start from scratch and grow that. And we are constantly giving back to the inner city and the social services and the charities. And when we sold that business, Changing Paradigms, it was, what are we going to do next? And personally, I just wanted to do something in a much bigger way to give back to our community, to try to leave a legacy. And in talking to to a lot of city leaders, it was what we need in the inner city are jobs. And, you know, in our previous life, as you're building brands, and our mission is very simple, building brands, creating jobs and changing lives. When you build brands, the jobs follow. So we knew if we could, you know, get a few brands under our belt, and we work with Procter & Gamble to start some things off, we would be able to bring those jobs in the inner city for those that really need it most. So it was kind of on our heart to do that. Our whole team really rallied behind that mission and making it something much bigger than just making a dollar.
And so there's a lot of job creation potential with social enterprises?
Absolutely. Think of it as, you know, we're still a business that's want to win. We want to win in the marketplace. We need to be profitable to continue to accomplish the mission we have. But at the same time, what we realized is if you put the people first, the business will follow. So we have the business acumen to build the brands, and this is what we've done all our lives. But we found in really putting the people first, and as you had mentioned, the people we tend to hire are those that nobody else will. People that really deserve a second chance. So of the
Nehemiah is doing a lot of work with people who are ex-convicts.
Absolutely. Today, you know, we started in 2009 where we might have had five people in the manufacturing operations side, and all those folks had felonies or had a history of drug and alcohol abuse, and nobody would give them a second chance. To today, we have 70 people, and it's pretty powerful to see the great things that people can accomplish when you give them that second chance and giving them opportunity to really realize their talents and they accomplish great things.
So Dan is dealing with one area. There are a lot of different things that a social enterprise can deal with, though, Bill, right? I mean, what are some of the things that social enterprises can address?
You know, any mission that any nonprofit, for example, has, any social service that's being delivered can in some way be touched by social enterprise. Sometimes social enterprises exist within the context of a nonprofit and help the nonprofit gain skills and expertise, and the profits just flow back into the business. So you have those type of arrangements. But in addition to job creation, it may be delivery of other non-traditional social services. We have social enterprises that, for example, work in the senior care space. So they're delivering services to elderly within the community. We have nonprofits or social enterprises who help kids and provide education for children, early childhood education, and things like that. So just any place where human services are involved, social enterprises have a place in addition to the job creation aspects.
Now, David, Easter Seals actually has three distinct
social enterprises
that you're dealing with. Tell us about those.
Certainly. And you know, just to put it in context, a social enterprise, you're going to have natural tension between mission and margin. And as you're launching a social enterprise, it's very important that those that are involved in the social enterprise are very clear on what end of that spectrum do they want to be. Do they want to be closer to the margin end of the spectrum or closer to the mission end of the spectrum? And we have three distinct social enterprises, and they're all at three different spots on that spectrum.
But that's one of the challenges that you face as a social enterprise, is that balance between mission and margin.
So. Absolutely, because in the end of the day, a social enterprise is a business, and you have to run it like a business, and so you have to set your margin expectations and go for those.
Right, you're not going to do anybody any good if you have to go out of business because you don't have any money. So.
Exactly.
What are the organizations that Easter Seals
certainly,
is?
Certainly. Sort of, you know, what's been known as our flagship social enterprise is Building Value. Building Value is a used building materials resale store located in the Northside neighborhood, open to the public 6 days a week. We carry everything from kitchen cabinets to sinks to fixtures to flooring, whatever, and the public can shop there. The other part of that business, though, is a deconstruction service. And deconstruction is an alternative to demolition. So instead of taking a building and knocking it over and hauling everything to the landfill, our enterprise comes and disassembles the building piece by piece, salvages as much as we can, sometimes up to 80% of the mass of the building, and for resale in the store or through other outlets. Where the mission comes in on this is our deconstruction service in our store are primarily staffed by people preparing to enter either in the construction or retail industries. And these are folks with little work history. They're folks that have challenges in their background, like Dan employs. They're folks that have a hard time connecting to employment, are not going to walk up and be employed in the construction industry right away. So they're working with us 4 to 6 months. They're learning valuable skills, safety on the workplace, use of tools, et cetera. And then once they've worked with us 4 to 6 months, we're moving them into jobs in the construction industry, primarily the commercial construction industry. So that's building value. We also operate a kitting fulfillment and logistics service that primarily serves the clinical trials industry at our headquarters on Gilbert Avenue in Walnut Hills. This business interfaces with the clinical trials industry in that when a pharmaceutical company takes a drug to test, they hire one of our customers to develop the protocol for that study, to recruit the patients, to get the sample collection supplies into the field around the world, and to receive the supplies back, test the samples, and then publish the results of the study. Our role in this is to get the sample collection supplies to the clinics around the world. So when our customers place orders with us, they're asking us to build unique kits based on a couple of hundred different pieces that we build just in time and then ship globally. And then our third social enterprise is building ability. It was originally a piece of the building value business plan, but when we were in building value, we had entered a social enterprise business planning competition sponsored by the Yale School of Management and the Goldman Sachs Foundation. And when it narrowed down from 550 participants to 20 finalists, we got some consulting, and the first things the consultant said was, your business plan's too complex. You have a store, you have a deconstruction service, and you have this rebuilding materials into value-added product. You got to chop two of those. And we got them to agree to keep the store and the deconstruction service, and then we quietly played with this other thing on our own. But it's a wood shop in which we take reclaimed building materials and turn it into value-added product, like Adirondack chairs, pens. We started with cornhole sets, at the height of its popularity here in Cincinnati. And now we've developed an online store for that. And I had mentioned that they operate on different ends of the spectrum. Building value and the fulfillment logistics plant, we're operating towards that margin end because we want people prepared for work in these industries. So we need to be profitable and we need to put those demands on ourselves. Building ability, we really are on that mission end. We're giving people opportunities to be creative and do things they've never had a chance to do before.
You have non-traditional employees. How do you reach those folks, and then what are some of the challenges that you face in training and bringing an employee into the business and having them be productive?
You know, and I think Dan will probably...
Dan can talk about that a lot, too.
Yeah, so. you hang out a shingle, there's lots of people that want to work. But the challenge is what do they want to do? You know, what are your strengths? What are your desires? What are your passions? When you don't have a paycheck, first of all, you're ready to jump at anything. But as we all know, if you're not happy in your job, you're not going to do a good job. So we have no challenge in finding people that want to work in one of our social enterprises. The challenge is to find out, is this a fit for this person? Are they ready to take this opportunity? Do they have the aptitude to gain the skills necessary to work in this industry? So we do have some academic testing that we put folks through as well as an interview process. But then really it's about helping them settle the other issues in their lives that have been preventing them from work in the first place, childcare, transportation, all of these things that we tend to take for granted once we are employed and are self-sustaining are huge obstacles for the people we work with.
Dan, what's your experience with, I think you always talk about giving people a second chance. What's your experience with giving someone a chance who another employer might have said, no way will I ever work with this person? How do these employees turn out?
Well, as I said, we've had tremendous success with the folks that we have brought on. But we've learned through this process when we first started and people realized that Nehemiah would hire folks that had a felony or had a real checkered past, which really prevented them from finding employment. We would just bring them on, and we weren't equipped to handle the challenges, and we were losing people. And what we've leaned on is the strong ecosystem within the city of Cincinnati. You got organizations like Jobs Plus, Cincinnati Works, the Help Program. What they do is we send folks that want to be employed at Nehemiah, and we have them go through their job readiness program. So they get them ready, and you weed out who really wants a job from those that say they want a job and not willing to show up every day. So they go through those programs, and then they come to Nehemiah after they successfully completed that. And we have a full-time social worker. We don't have an HR department. What we want to do from day one is, one, welcome them as a member of the Nehemiah team, even though you're attempt to hire, and that's generally what we do to ensure that, one, we have employment for them, and secondly, to ensure they're committed to showing up every day and working hard. But that Dana, who is our social worker and our team, we want to understand what their dreams are. We want to understand where they want to go, how we can, as a company, help them achieve that. Because a lot of times it's lots more than a paycheck.
Yeah. Do you work with state employment agencies to help find employees?
You know, we haven't had to work very hard to find employees. We have so many more than we can really hire, and hence the reason for starting the Beacon of Hope Business Alliance. But that hasn't been a challenge for us.
I think one of the interesting things is I'm hearing both Dave and Dan talk is that think about the people that they are employing, people with developmental disabilities, people with criminal history and things like that. And think about the alternative for those individuals. You know, those folks, if not faced with this type of employment and don't have those opportunities, find themselves back in the criminal justice system. They find themselves in and out of treatment facilities. Social enterprise really provides a vehicle for making them productive members of society. And that is, if anything else, that is one of the reasons why as we look at this community and as we continue to grow and become a more vibrant community, the important role of social enterprise and really the fabric of the society. You know, social enterprise really provides sustainability for families. It provides for stronger communities. In addition to that, it provides something incredibly valuable. I know David and I were just, and Dan were just talking about this in the lobby, and that is that these folks, what is the alternative for them in terms of how they look at their own self-worth? I think we all know that work provides a real feeling of contribution back to society. Nobody really wants to receive a check every month. Nobody wants to go down to the soup kitchen or anything like that. What they really want to do is to contribute. And I think that's where social enterprise has just a huge role in the greater Cincinnati region.
We will continue our discussion about social enterprises and Social Enterprise Cincy Week. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are David Dreith, Executive Vice President of Enterprise, Easter Seals Tri-State, Dan Meyer, CEO of Nehemiah Manufacturing and founder of Beacon of Hope Alliance, and Bill Tucker, Executive Director of Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we haven't asked you yet about your organization, Bill. We've talked about what Easter Seals is doing and what Nehemiah does. What is Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub? How's that work?
Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub is a community-funded nonprofit. We're a 501c3. We were formed in 2010 when the community funders came together, and they said, we think that this could be a more vibrant community if we could find a way to create an ecosystem to support social enterprise. So that's when Flywheel was formed, and what we do is support that ecosystem. We provide education and training. We provide consulting services. We provide a variety of different things that help organizations, as they consider social enterprise, help them execute better, do feasibility assessments, business planning, market research, and those types of things.
Now, any idea how many social enterprises there are in greater Cincinnati?
If I had the answer to that, I would be very happy with that. But the good news is there are lots, probably measured in the hundreds. And that's because the definition of social enterprise is a pretty broad definition. On the one side, you have an organization that, is pretty much on the margin side, as David talked about, and other organizations that are very much on the mission side. It's really hard to put a number on that, but they span all different types of industries. You know, we've got organizations like Artifacts, which is a social enterprise of the Center for Independent Living Options. We've got social enterprises like Porta Luca, which is a social enterprise of Dress for Success. Lawn Life, which provides lawn care and landscaping services. in a variety of different specters, different services, different products, just a variety of different things. But there are literally hundreds. And frankly, that's the reason why we are here, is to help elevate all of those organizations and make them more sustainable in this community.
What are the attributes of a successful social enterprise?
Oh, my gosh. I think that probably number one is they have an incredibly strong leader who is very much attached to this idea of entrepreneurship. I think that's incredibly important, that they're willing to take on risk and try new things and try new ideas. Frankly, it's no different than any other business enterprise. If you look at what's taking place in our startup community, social enterprise really mirrors that. We just sit on more of the social side of it and providing that social mission, but very same attributes. You've also got to have a product or service that the market has a demand for. Doesn't do any good to open a coffee shop when everybody else is buying coffee right next door. So having the marketplace, having the entrepreneurial skill and drive, and frankly, having the capital that's required to start up a business. New businesses are risky ventures, and that capital is sometimes a little bit harder to acquire in the social enterprise space. But that's one of the reasons we're talking about this, because it's so important that business leaders and civic leaders and government leaders begin to understand how they can invest in these businesses and make them more successful.
Now, is it fair to say that the majority of these businesses are smaller companies? Since later we're going to hear about a company that turned out to be relatively large, which is Tom's Shoes. They've gone global. But are most social enterprises on a smaller scale?
I would say that, you know, it's kind of the 80-20 rule, that 80% of the social enterprises that we see in this community are small. But then we've got the 20% that have a real impact in this community. So both David and Dan's organizations, huge impact. Other organizations, people working cooperatively, have some huge impact with their whole home modification service. And they're much larger entities.
David, are social enterprises like any other venture? They can experience failure along the way, but that's something where they just need to learn and move on?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like any other business. If you are experiencing failure, you got to get out.
You're going to hit tough times,
yeah,
aren't you?
It's harder to give up on an idea, I want to say, but what do I know? I think it's hard to give up on an idea when you have a mission attached with it. But yes, they can experience failure.
Dan, what were some of the challenges that you faced with Nehemiah?
You know, I think the biggest thing was, and we came through that pretty quickly right out of the chute, is how best to get the people job ready to come into the organization. It was very frustrating to start because we did have things that Bill talked about. You know, we had the passion of the management team to do what we wanted to do, which was to really help those that need it most. We had great brands. We had plenty of capital. It was really working through that process of ensuring that the people were job ready, because it was very disheartening at first when we'd bring people on and we'd lose them after a week or lose them after 2 weeks. And, you know, we quickly got over that hurdle by understanding that there were social services in the area that could really help us out. That was something we didn't know really coming in to the city and doing what we wanted to do.
Among your clients, was it a bit harder to find clients? Did you run into this idea that you're a social enterprise, I'm not so sure about dealing with you, or were your customers and clients pretty quick to jump in? David says he's had that experience.
We're a nonprofit organization, and we say we're going to bring a track hoe and a dump truck over to your house and take it down. There's a credibility issue at that point. But, you know, that's the important part of operating any business. You've got to be on time. You've got to be it's got to be quality product, and it's got to be safe. And after we built a track record of doing that, at building value, success bred success. But initially, that credibility issue was a challenge for us.
Did you face anything like that, Dan?
No, we didn't. I mean, we're in the consumer packaged goods space. We started with, as I said, P&G weighing in, and we were able to license a brand called Pampers Can Do, which is a toddler line of flushable wipes and personal care products. So you had a powerful brand equity in Pampers. We were working with the big retailers, the Walmarts, the Targets, the Krogers, and we had a history with them in previous company, previous life. So we had a track record with them. So from a brand standpoint, selling our products, no, that wasn't an issue for us. The challenge was more of when Procter when they licensed this brand, it was kind of on its last leg in the marketplace. And we did have to work very hard to keep it on the shelf But that's something we know and we're good at, so we were able to get through that hurdle.
Dan, how do you think Cincinnati compares to other cities at creating and sustaining social enterprises?
You know, I don't have a breadth of experience in that area, but I can tell you that when people understand and hear about what we're doing at Nehemiah, that we're getting a lot of calls. We have a group from Dayton that came down. We had some folks from Maryland who heard about us that reaching out. So, you know, it's not as prevalent as it needs to be, but it's heading in the right direction. I think we've been able to prove is just one company that making money and really helping those that need it most is not mutually exclusive, that you can do both and you can do both well. So, you know, that's why we're creating the Beacon of Hope Business Alliance. We can't hire enough people. We have 2,500 folks that come out of the Hamilton County prison and jail system that are looking for employment. And it's not all going to be at Nehemiah. So we really need to get other companies to open their hearts and open their organizations to be willing to give people a second chance.
And David?
Yeah, I can say Cincinnati's a wonderful place to start a social enterprise. When we launched Building Value 10 years ago, I mean, you have one, a wealth of Fortune 500 companies, so you've got some business expertise in this city, and you have a lot of entrepreneurs. And our board at that time was made up of both. We had everybody from Rodney McMullen, who's now president of Kroger, chair of Kroger, to Gary Thompson, who is an entrepreneur himself, and they've lent valuable expertise and got very passionate about us starting this business and put a lot of time and effort into it. Even today, as we look at expanding our social enterprise, we have people that want to volunteer their time to help us business plan for what's next stages in these things. Dan actually is helping us expand this fulfillment logistics enterprise, in these next few weeks. So you've got a lot of a nucleus of expertise here, and as well as passion.
And I think, you know, to the credit of the funders in this community that had the insight back in 2010 to say, we think this is a really good way to support the ecosystem by having this social enterprise hub, it's unique. There's very, very few other cities in this country that have the resources that this city does. And I think our mission right now is to elevate all of those social entrepreneurs and for the folks in government and folks in business leaders and things like that to understand that these businesses really can contribute to this society. Make the quality of life better here and do it with a way that doesn't mean you have to rely on social services, so it reduces the tax burden. And for corporate businesses, it's an opportunity to think about corporate social responsibility as an investment in the community and not just about putting T-shirts on people and putting them in a vacant lot and over the Rhine.
Yeah. The Social Enterprise Cincy Week is going to start August the 31st, Bill. Tell us about that whole week. What's going on?
It's going to be a busy week. It kicks off on Tuesday, September 1st at 3:00 in the afternoon, Union Terminal, where our keynote speaker will be Sebastian Fries, who is the former chief giving officer for Tom's Shoes.
And we'll be hearing from Sebastian in just a few minutes.
Absolutely.
In the next segment of the show.
We'll have Dan and three other folks who are in the social enterprise space here in the greater Cincinnati region doing little talks about their businesses. In a panel discussion, we'll also have Jim Shore, who is the CEO of the Social Enterprise Alliance, on that panel. And it will be moderated by Brett Smith, who is the director of entrepreneurship at Miami University. Then on Wednesday from 11:30 to 1:30 on Fountain Square, we'll have the Social Enterprise Showcase, which will have 20-some-odd social entrepreneurs showing their products and services and talking about what they do. And then on Thursday, the Social Enterprise Christian Connection is sponsoring an event up in Lockland at La Terza Coffee. And they're right across the street from Rivertown Brewing, so there's beer, food, and coffee. That's a great combination. And that's in the evening on Thursday. And then Buy Social Saturday, which is a way to bring awareness to to the consumers about how they can contribute themselves directly in social enterprise.
Now, is this the second year for the event?
It is the second year for the showcase and the second year for Buy Social Saturday. But the big event, the summit this year, is brand spanking new. So we're anxious to kick that off.
So how many people does this usually attract? How many people do you usually get involved in the week?
Well, we had over 500 people come through Fountain Square last year for the showcase. We expect an equal or larger number. We're going to have some representatives from our city government down there as well, so that will help bring some more folks down. And for this summit itself, we're hoping 150 to 250 people show up for that event. Should be fun.
Okay. And how can people get more information about the event?
It's real easy. The website is secincy.org. That's secincy.org. And all kinds of information about tickets and the events and more about social enterprise and social enterprises all found there.
Okay. And you can find a link to that as well at wvxu.org. And David and Dan, are you looking forward to taking part in this week?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What's your message to would-be social entrepreneurs and social enterprises?
I think Dan, or I'm sorry, Bill hit on you've got to be passionate about what you're doing, and you've got to have somebody that kind of has the acumen, and you put one person. It can't be part of one person's job. It's got to be their job and their life for a while to launch one.
I can tell you it's very fulfilling to do this kind of work.
And you would recommend it highly, then?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I always say it's... I have two reasons for getting up and doing what I do every morning. One is it never gets old seeing somebody change their life. It never gets old seeing somebody who has a felony, who's had real trouble trying to find a job in the current marketplace, find a job and do things they never thought possible, support themselves and their families. The other part is it never gets old competing in a marketplace against other businesses that typically won't hire the people we're serving and winning the business.
Financially sustainable and you feel good too.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. David Dreith is Executive Vice President of Enterprise, Easter Seals Tri-State. Dan Meyer is CEO of Nehemiah Manufacturing and founder of the Beacon of Hope Alliance. And Bill Tucker is Executive Director of Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub. Coming up next, the story of Tom's Shoes. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.